bring new school supplies to any of our 24 locations and pay nothing to get started.
That's how we lift local.
Let's lift a little bit. Donate in August. Join Club Fitness for free. See club for details.
Who's ready for a USDA Prime steak? You won't find USDA Prime beef at the grocery store because it's graded as the highest 2% of beef sold in the country, and its supply is gobbled up by all the finest restaurants. At Surf and Sirloin, located on eastbound Manchester Road just west of 270, that's what's on the menu. USDA Prime, 14-ounce New York strip, 16-ounce ribeye, 22-ounce porterhouse, or a barrel-cut filet mignon. And with fresh seafood flown in daily, Surf and Sirloin. For reservations, call 822-3637 or through the app Open Table or online at surfandsirloin.com.
Every great success story starts with one brave decision. And if you're one of the millions of Americans with college credit but no degree, one brave decision is all that stands between you and the future you want. At Maryville University, we know returning to college takes courage, but your decision isn't really about going back to school. It's about moving forward. And we'll be with you every step of the way. Let's be brave together. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet.
Can we stay on until 7 today?
To the sunny side.
Sure. Or how about 8 o'clock?
Can you hear?
There's so much to talk about. There's a lot of stuff to talk about today. Because it's Monday. I don't want to sing over the music. I mean, I don't want to talk over the music, but I am. Because saying that I don't want to is still talking over it.
Brain tumor.
I'm fired up today. No, I'm fired up. It may be a brain tumor. I'm lit up today. It's a good thing.
Small brain on its tumor.
I'm not afraid. This rover.
Being the best loser takes talent, just as being the best winner does.
You're telling us. You think we don't know that? We work hard at being the worst.
And the best losers in the radio business.
Gold dust at my feet, on the sunny side of the street.
Well, how you doing, everybody? Pull up a chair. Unless you're in the car, that would be hard to do. That would be impossible to do. Turn off the radio in the car and tell whoever else is in there with you, if there's anybody, shh, be quiet. The large morning show in the afternoon is on the air. No talk or I'll miss something. And then if you do, of course, there's the app. The wonderful app. You go back and listen to it all over again. Glad to have you with us. I'm hoping the others in the room have as much to talk about or close to as much as I do, because we've had a whole weekend to work on it. Here it is, the 19th of August. Another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Was it 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day?
There you go, Amanda. She hates that. My daughter absolutely hates that. So.
Does she listen every day?
I don't think every day, but if she can't listen, I think she likes to go back and just hear the joke and parts of it. She'll hear that at some point. So, welcome. Everybody, we go till 6. There are others in the room with me. I will introduce them later. Let's start this way. Oh, Josh Bauman will be in at 4 o'clock. Get your tech questions ready. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
Woo! I knew it. Trevor Limestone, Limey Phillips, it's all yours.
All right,
you're welcome.
Thank you very much, Frank. Which story would you like to hear first, the one that happened Friday night or the one that happened Saturday night?
Well, since I don't know which one is better, let's start in order of the calendar. We'll start Friday.
All right, so Friday, I finished working my other job, and I went to
Walmart. Now, explain to people who might not know.
All right, yeah.
You do have another job.
I do have another job. I work in a restaurant.
Because no one in radio these days can survive on
just one
radio.
Job.
And you work in a restaurant, not as a cook or a dishwasher. You're like a maitre d'.
Yeah.
What is your actual title there?
Host in the daytime and then expo at nighttime. So I'm the guy who stands back in the kitchen and makes sure all the food goes out to where it's supposed to go correctly.
Like you expose yourself? What does that mean?
Expedite. It's short for expediter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, the expo.
You know, and here's just sad. We can't mention the name of the place because this is how we make our living, yet they have a great opportunity with you here to do advertising and have it be effective? What's wrong with these people?
I have no idea.
Okay, good. What happened?
So, I went to Walmart afterwards to pick up some dog food. It was about 9:30 at night, and as I'm walking to the pet
section... And here's what's sad, folks. He doesn't have a dog. We eat dog food. That's how bad the radio... That's how bad things are. Go ahead.
Well... four guys started getting into a fight in the shampoo aisle. And I remember specifically because I was like, wow, what a great place for a fight.
Yeah. Which Walmart were you?
County Walmart.
Okay.
Telegraph Road?
On Telegraph?
Yeah, Telegraph Road, right there by the highway.
That's where they fight over the shampoo.
Why would a guy with as little hair as you be in the champagne aisle?
I was walking past the shampoo aisle.
Got it.
You go through your... self-care products, and then there's the pet section.
Understood.
So, I'm walking by there, and at first, you know, there was one guy against three guys, so whenever I'm like, hey, you know, calm down a bit. And that's when the one guy on his own said the stupidest thing he could have said in a Walmart, given recent news.
Oh.
He said, you're not going to fight me, I'll put bullets in you. And he said it loud. Mm. And the second he said that, about five more people just kind of came over to the area. And that's when the people who actually worked at Walmart came over and they were like, all right, what's going on? Drop the situation. But the second he did that, the other people were like, we'll put bullets in you. And it just kind of escalated from there. Mm-hmm. So
good for them. letting them know, don't try anything here because we're armed.
Well...
Can you guys hold off on the shooting until I get my dog food?
Yeah, right. So that's when I saw somebody in the background start recording the situation. So I was like, all right, good night. I'm out. Like, I'm gone. I don't want to be one of those people in the back of a video.
But you wouldn't have been one of the losers. You'd have just been standing
still.
It was you, wasn't it? You're the one that said. It was you.
It was not me. It was not me.
What was he talking about?
I think one of them was talking to his wife.
There's Trevor in the background.
Right. So I didn't want anything.
With a bag of dog food.
So they defused the situation. The three guys were told to leave, and the one carried on shopping with his wife. I'm guessing they had said something to his wife, and it just turned into kind of a show.
Are they arguing about shampoo?
Maybe.
By the way, that your beard looks really good now.
Thank you.
No, it does. It's nicely trimmed. You know there's a beard shampoo?
There is?
Why do you need... Yeah. Who needs a beard shampoo?
I know there's like beard cream
and
stuff like
that.
What do you just
put soap like you soap your rest of your body and that's it?
Yeah. Just like, you know.
No need.
Face soap, wash hair the beard,
color
done.
For men?
No need for
color
that.
It?
Hair color for men.
Are you coloring
it? No, well, hold on.
No, I'm not coloring it.
No, the way you answered...
What?
Sort of says guilty, like you're calling.
It did sound
you had a little bit of a denial chuckle.
No, this is all me. I don't use hair.
I recognize that. I've seen it on the shelf.
I thought you were making another joke about having no hair on the top of my head.
That's number color number 33. I recognize
that. That is not color number 33. This is au naturel.
Well, and you know what? It's nicely manicured.
Okay.
Thank
all
you.
Well, all right. These guys that look like you'd be on the cover of the Smith Brothers cough drops, like like the old 1800s. Oh. I can't stand those things. This is that's more maintenance than if you just shaved.
The Smith Brothers cough drop.
Remember?
Oh yeah, the guy. One of the guys had a pointy beard. Didn't he? It was like a point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
So what else? For Saturday.
Well, the moral of Friday's story is if you're in Walmart, don't say I'm going to put bullets in you because 10 years ago that might have been a threat to someone so that's actually going to like deter them from fighting you. Now it doesn't really mean anything.
And the other reason not to do it is because Missouri is an open carry state.
Yeah, it is.
And you might get messed up doing that. So don't do that.
Two guys walked into Walmart in Kansas City yesterday.
Is this a joke?
No.
Because it sounded like the start of a joke. So two guys going to Walmart in Kansas City.
No, they walked into Walmart in Kansas City with guns in a holster.
Right.
And they were going back to the ammunition or wherever, you know, the sporting goods and everything.
Right.
And everybody freaked out in there.
And even though it's illegal,
it's
kind of stupid.
It is.
There are people who like to just push the limits.
Yep.
And those are the people that make the rest of us look bad and get laws changed that we don't want changed. There's no reason to do that.
Yeah. So
and by the way, here's why they're stupid. If I'm in Walmart and something goes down and a guy loses it and comes in, you know who he's going to shoot first? Me with my gun on my head.
Yeah.
He's taking me out
first. He's going to take you down.
Yeah. It's better that he not know you have one. Mm-hmm. So you knuckleheads that like to walk around with a gun exposed, knock it off. Stupid.
Very well, Sam.
Anything else?
So, Saturday night,
yeah.
Right? I went out to walk my dogs. It was around 10 o'clock at night. Sorry, my non-existent dogs. And I noticed that somebody had hit my car again.
Oh, no.
What?
Stop it.
Right? They had actually parked, like, I was parked in a different spot this time, and they had parked so close to my car that their front bumper was actually touching my back bumper. Like, it had indented.
So did you take a picture?
I took a picture, and this time I was like, all right, the third time, like, no, I'm not being this, like, you know, just letting it go away. Yeah. Their car was still leaning into my car. It was still there. So I called the cops, right? Mm. So I call the cops, they come out, they file a report, and the cop says to me, okay, now you can go ahead and move your car. So, all right, not a problem. I pull out, I pull into a different parking spot. As I'm going, I hear this god-awful noise, this kind of a noise. I look behind, the car that had hit mine had rolled forward and hit the cop car.
Oh!
Oh my goodness.
So it wasn't even in gear.
It wasn't in park. The person, the person had left off.
Well, the good news
handbrake.
Is now the guy's really going to have to pay.
So at first, me and the cop are just laughing, and I was like, I am really sorry this has happened to your car. Nothing to do with me, but you know, you came out to do your work. You're right. Probably hoping for an easy night. So more police had to come out to file a report for that one. Poor person. Like, at first, I was really angry. Then I just started laughing. So I'm like, well, now this person.
So how much damaged your car?
To mine, absolutely nothing.
Good.
Like, it popped right out.
Good.
I was happy as can be.
But see, this guy is now. The good news is.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, do you know who he is yet?
Yeah. It turns out it's a woman. Okay. And I saw her the next morning. I walked out and she was sitting on the steps outside of the leasing office. She seemed quite panicked and frustrated and annoyed. So I kind of walked by and I'm like, hey, do you happen to drive a dark blue Chevy Cruze? And she's like, yeah, I know. I just spoke to the cops. Poor thing. Because her car had to be towed because they couldn't get in it. They couldn't find it. And they can't just leave it there to roll away.
Is she good looking?
She was all right.
What does that mean?
Yeah, no, like, meh.
Would you? Drunk? You were drunk?
Yeah. A couple beers in, sure. And so she
said
to get
that about Dan.
Yeah, but he said, but he used the word very drunk.
Ooh. Yeah. So a car was towed. It got impounded until they could figure out what to do, and it hit a cop car. Which, if I hadn't noticed that car was parked so close to mine and just drove off, hers would have rolled down and easily taken out two or three cars. So she'd be looking at thousands of dollars worth of damage.
So you saved her, actually.
I saved her.
Your car saved her from major expense.
Absolutely saved her.
She owes you.
Yeah.
HJ in the dark, maybe?
Maybe. You never know, you know? I mean, you know, we live in the same apartment complex. So Officer Roland just wanted to say thank you for coming out so promptly. Sorry your car got...
St. Louis County?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, St. Louis County. See,
weekends, most all weekends, big stuff happens.
All the fun stuff.
Something happens.
Wow.
Anything else? Nope, but I can tell you, I'm never going to leave my handbrake off ever again. Just for
It's interesting
situation.
You call it a handbrake.
Because
most of them aren't with your hand. It's an emergency brake with a foot pedal.
Oh,
but
right.
Handbrake is a British, because most British cars actually
have
a handbrake.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Who's next? Merck segment.
I do.
Ladies and gentlemen. Sporting a salmon-colored shirt. That's what I call it, I guess. That's all yours. You're welcome.
You're not going to comment on the color of my head?
It's a little bit like pink, like you got caught in the sun.
Yeah, you didn't even introduce him, though.
I did. Tim Woodburn.
Hey, Rick. The reason my head is red is because Friday, I have two walks that I can take my dogs on. I've got the gentleman's walk, which is mostly...
By the way, it's not like a horrible burn, but just barely. I can tell you got a little sun.
Right. I'm about to tell you why.
Okay.
So there's the gentleman's walk, which is, you know, it's flat. I'm not feeling that energetic, you know, and we go on like kind of a flat 1.5-mile walk, and then there's days where I'm feeling energized and really want to get a good workout in, and we go on the suicide walk, which is up of... I count them. It's up a 750-step foothill.
Good grief.
Then another, then down, and then up another 225-step hill, and then up another 300-step hill.
That could kill a person.
And then do that same thing on the way back.
Yeah.
Halfway through this walk on Friday, which was kind of an overcast day, but I waited and waited and waited, and by the time I finally got around to doing it, it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon when the sun had just come out, so it was starting to get a little humid. And I'm walking, and I'm doing just fine. Got my headphones on. No,
No, walking. I'm doing just fine. Got my headphones on. Dogs are fine. All of a sudden, and I mean, I literally was within 20 seconds of reaching the halfway point of this walk and pulled my right calf muscle.
Oh.
And so I'm not a personal trainer. I don't really know how to fix that. I kind of tried to start do some stretching exercises.
Now, what's the difference in that and like a bad cramp, leg cramp?
I was limping very bad. I could hardly put any weight on the leg. I mean, it was, and it just came out of nowhere.
I met a girl that dated you. She said you were limp. Oh, yeah. Wait, no, you were limping. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was my leg, yo. This was my leg.
Oh, okay.
And I actually had my phone out ready to call Uber for an Uber ride home halfway through my walk, and I thought, it takes a lot to embarrass me, but I thought, I think I would have gotten embarrassed.
For the short distance.
Right. Because, you know, because you probably come all the way from Ellisville, Eureka, come all the way from Ellisville or Valley Park or Fenton, think he's going to give me a nice big fat, you know, $70 ride to the airport, and I'm like, hey, man.
80 cents.
I'm overweight. I'm overweight. And seriously, I think I would have called Uber, but I didn't know. I couldn't figure out what Uber's policy was on dogs in the car.
Oh, that's, you know what?
I think some of them are okay.
But that's a good question because there's nothing on the app, is there, that says.
I couldn't find anything. And I stood there for about 15 minutes in the sun blazing down on my big bald pumpkin. Trying to figure out whether or not I could get it. Because nobody else that I know in Eureka is home at 3 o'clock.
Well, somebody drives for Uber can call us. We can ask Dan Buffett tomorrow. I'm going to guess no to dogs in Uber.
Why didn't you tell the dogs, go get help. Hurry, go get help.
Like Lassie.
Yeah. Listen, I seriously considered tying them up to a telephone pole and then having the Uber guy just drive me home and then coming back and getting them.
Oh.
And you have these thoughts. You don't realize how ridiculous they are until maybe you think about them a little bit. I actually also was hypothesizing that maybe I could talk the Uber driver into letting me in the car, and I'll just hold the dogs out the window.
Yeah.
So they're not in the car.
Yeah. Like you're walking.
It's just a mile and a half ride.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it. You know, and, you know, that way they technically wouldn't be in your car. I'll hold them out the
window.
How
big are your dogs?
22 and 16 pounds. So, you know. But, you know, 40 pounds with your arms horizontal out of window.
That wouldn't work.
I'm going to guess that very few Uber drivers, because the Ubers at cars I've been in are really nice and clean, and they smell nice. I must say no. Somebody's calling. They'll let us know.
Yeah, you're probably right. So that's why I was out in the sun way longer than I anticipated being, because I finally just walked it off. I was able to walk home.
Now, you know what somebody ought to do is start a secondary sort of Uber, another level, that's Uber for dog owners. And the drivers do allow. Maybe the cars are a little older, or maybe it's more of a van.
Or at least a cage. You know, I mean, if you can at least keep them in a cage. You know,
yeah, you've got a vehicle
boxes.
That's designed to carry out.
Right.
Bring your dogs.
Right. Perry might have an answer.
Now, let's talk to Perry. Perry, welcome to 590 The Fan. What's the deal with the Uber thing?
Well, first of all, I'm AM and PM.
Thank you, Perry.
I also live in Waterloo.
Wow. Where I went to high school. Well, for 2 years.
Yes, sir. Okay, so I drive part-time, and you have to, as a driver, you have to accept people that have service dogs.
Ah, okay, service dogs.
But as far as a basic pet goes, it's up to the driver's discretion whether they want to take it or not.
But you know, it'd be a good idea if you, and I don't know how you would do this, but on the app, because you can call the driver, gives you his number. Yeah. If you have a dog, I call him before he drives all the way out and say, I have a little dog, would you take it? And get a yes or a no. It's probably rather than have him show up and then go, I'm sorry, I can't take you.
The problem, have you ever taken an Uber?
Yeah.
Well, the problem is you can't talk, you can only give drivers, you can only text them notes, you can't call them.
Oh, no, I've called them.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Cause they're sitting, right, Perry? I mean, because your cell phone number's there.
Okay.
I've called them. All
right. Well, it's actually a disguised number, but yes, you can call them.
Oh.
And you can also text if there's any specific notes that you might have for that driver.
And a simple text, I have a small dog, is that okay? That's a good idea. But so the answer is just up to the driver.
On regular pets, yeah.
Okay.
Service dogs, the driver has to take a passenger with a service dog.
All right, Perry. Appreciate it. Thank you.
guys. Have a great day.
You too. Bye bye. Now, yeah, you could do like a lot of people and cheat and buy your dogs a little vest.
Let me tell you something. Just carry some glasses around, act like I'm blind.
No, just service dog. way too many people cheat the system and do that fake service dog crap, and I don't like it. It's like I don't like people with a fake handicap thing hanging in their car, so they can take the space somebody else should have.
Right? We can talk to Dr. Doug sometime about this, but I also. There's a difference between service dogs and support dogs.
And then there are seeing eye dogs. They're three different things.
Yeah, there's like, and it's insane. And it's so, some of it is so stupid.
Well, a support dog actually does things like you drop the keys, the person in the wheelchair, they pick them up. A support dog does things to help handicap people.
That's the service dog.
You're right. Service dog is trained to grab the phone, give them the phone, pick up the keys, get the paper, open the door. You're right.
That's a support dog is an emotional.
Yeah.
And the person, in order to have a support dog, is supposed to have a letter from a licensed psychologist or a counselor or something like that.
Sadly, you can go online and you get the letter.
Oh yeah,
and you can get the vest.
Yeah,
it's a support, and people cheat the system all the time.
There's a guy somewhere I know that is cheating the system.
It's a good story, Dan.
I don't want to say anything.
Well, can I tell you something? My wife and I have friends. There's a couple we know. They happen to live in Canada. How we met them is irrelevant, but we met them, and then we'd been with them, and they come into the States a lot. And the minute that the wife, and they have a big dog. This dog is easily 60, 70 pounds. They take it on flights with them, and the dog sits by the seat. And they have a vest, and she laughed and told us, it's so easy. We went online. And the minute she told me that, I'm not kidding. It's like, I don't want to be their friends anymore, and now we hardly ever talk to them or see them.
Is this the same couple where their dog poops in the bedroom where you were staying the night?
No. That was a long time ago. Okay. And then actually the dog peed, some of it got on my shoes. The dog peed by the bed where my shoes were, and I stepped in a puddle of pee, and then my shoes had pee on. And then we never spoke to them again.
Right, because they wanted you to apologize to the dog.
Yes. I mean, she said I made their dog nervous. She said you made him nervous, and you hurt his feelings, and he's shaking. And I said, well, I got news for you. I don't like dogs peeing on my shoes, and I don't like stepping in a puddle of dog pee. And my wife and I packed our bags, and we've never spoken to them since. So things happen when you let your dog pee on your house guest's shoes and have them step in the puddle of pee.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything else?
Yes.
Okay. And now part two, Tim Woodburn.
Tomorrow.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Frank. Do I say thank you twice?
Yeah.
Tomorrow, there is going to be a press conference in St. Louis in which Major League Soccer is going to announce St. Louis has been awarded an expansion team.
Mm.
Now, I like Major League Soccer to a certain degree. I like watching World Cup soccer. I've never really gotten into MLS because St. Louis never had a team. But I'm on their website right now, and they have not named this team yet. And there's probably going to be a name the team contest.
Oh, hold on. Here we go. Remember when the Rams came to the Purple Stallions? It looked like that was going to be the name for a while.
That's unfortunate.
The Purple Stallions.
We were in line for an expansion NFL team, and then Jacksonville got it instead of us.
So when you look at the names of the teams that are currently in MLS, and as much as MLS is a rising league that's growing in revenue and it's growing in exposure and fan base, and from an attendance standpoint, they actually outdraw the NHL and the NBA, even though they play fewer games. But from an average game standpoint, they actually have better attendance. The names of the teams in this league are so boring, it's beyond belief.
Wait, can I guess what most of them are? Is it just football club, United, or just ends in city?
Well, pretty much that's it, because that's the way they do it in Europe.
How many do you have there?
Yeah.
Well, so here, just, well, there's like 30 teams in the league, or 26 teams in the league, right in that area. I have to look it up. The names of the teams that just end in football club, the Atlanta United Football Club, that's the name of their team.
Boring.
Okay. The New York City Football Club, the Columbus Crew Soccer Club,
boring.
The Orlando City Soccer Club,
boring.
The Toronto Football Club.
They don't have a mascot like the
Los Angeles Football Club, the Minnesota United Football Club, Seattle Sounders Football Club. Some of them have like nicknames and then football club at the end of it. And then there's some that have the word United after them or United in front of them. The Atlanta United.
But no, DC no United. Mascot like the Tigers.
No, there's no nickname. It's football club, soccer club, United, or some of them have comboed the United with the football club. And one team, Dallas, put the football club in front, so they're called Football Club Dallas. Because that's
okay. Different. But it almost sounds to me like they have a rule. No,
there's other teams that don't do that. The New England Revolution, the Chicago Fire, the Philadelphia Union, the Colorado Rapids, the Houston Dynamo, the Portland Timbers, the San Jose Earthquakes. The guys on Hard Time last week had Bill McDermott on, because he's Mr. Soccer in St. Louis, and they asked him what he thought a good name for the St. Louis team would be, and he had a couple of suggestions, and I almost drove off the road sleeping, that they were so unexpected. So, I thought maybe if you could take the aura of St. Louis as it's been the last couple of years and maybe do something. So
the Shooters.
Well, hear me out on that. It's sort of common to one of the names that I have suggested here. One of the teams completely hoard themselves out. New York has two teams, and one of them is New York City Football Club. The other New York team is the New York Red Bulls, and they play their name in Red Bull Arena, which is sponsored by Red Bull. They sold the name of their team and the name of their stadium to a primary sponsor just to grab the money, which they did that in 1996 when the league was just forming. And so I don't know that the league would allow you to do that again, because it occurred to me that with the Taylor family and with Enterprise being such a huge St. Louis business, that maybe the name St. Louis Enterprise or Enterprise St. Louis would be involved in this. It's actually not that bad, because there's been no other sports team named by that name. But I don't think the Taylor families are 100% of the ownership group. There's other people that are involved, like the guy from Worldwide Technologies is a significant investor as well. So why should your company get a name and my company not? And that kind of, I don't know.
Is it all female ownership or all female management?
I believe it would be the only team in the league that's majority owned by female.
Yes.
By a female ownership interest group. I don't believe it's 100% female, because the guy from Worldwide Technologies is involved. Yeah. He's going to be in there. But I mean, with the reputation St. Louis has had recently, and I'll tell you what, you could if you wanted to, and maybe another show on this station will, or a show on some channel, you could probably have a contest.
I'm with you. They will have a contest. The zoo does it when an animal's born. Yeah. They'll have a contest.
So just a couple of suggestions I thought I'd throw out there and maybe get your feedback on. How about the St. Louis Strippers?
Oh, and never go and never fly. They just never fly.
Be the first team with topless cheerleaders. I mean,
the idea.
How about the St. Louis protesters?
I like the protesters.
Well, with the recent news, how about St. Louis child killers? We've got so many children that have been killed.
I actually had a sort of a version of that, the St. Louis homicide.
Because you're talking, come into
St. Louis, you might get killed.
Well, we're going to kill our opponent.
Right. The St. Louis ballers, soccer is a sport played with a ball. Right. Is that too sexually connotated?
No.
Baller, no.
I mean, it's not like it's balls deep St. Louis football club, and like St. Louis ballers.
Yeah. He's a baller.
Yeah, the ballers. So I don't know. I just thought, I think that this is going to be a hot, and if I were the people that run this soccer team, I would milk this for all it's worth, because you're in Cardinals country, you're in a team that just won the Stanley Cup. I would milk this name, the team thing, because they're not going to play until 2022. They're not going to play for another 2.5 years, because they haven't built the stadium yet. Right. Stadium's going to be right next to Union Station.
I say, if after 3 years it's the absolute worst team in the league, you have you change the name. A lot of people call it the Lou. I can't stand it. Mm-hmm. The St. Louis Losers. And then, yeah, but that have to prove they're that bad.
I'm just blown away by how many of these teams in this league have such boring. Now, I realize they're steeped in tradition, because European soccer,
the MLS shouldn't be steeped in tradition, should it?
Real Madrid is one of the most incredible, rich, wealthy teams in the history of European soccer, and there's one team in the league that ripped that off, and they called them, it's the team in Salt Lake City, and they call the name of their team is Real Salt Lake.
Wow. I'd say St. Louis champions. Go ahead and give yourself a name of a winner.
Yeah.
We just got started. We're the champions. St. Louis champions. Something like that.
kind of works.
We got enough animals.
I just hope they don't go this boring FC route or this football club, St. Louis Football Club or St. Louis United. Come up with something fun. Is all I'm saying.
No, I think you're right. I think they're absolutely going to stick with that boring tradition and go.
That's St. Louis
United. Well, it's going to be interesting to see how many people go to a soccer game.
Well, I guess actually, I don't think they could go with St. Louis United, because then that on the shirts would be STLU, and we've already got St. Louis University
Do a dyslexic thing. The St. Louis Untied, supposed to be United. He's got the letters wrong. The St. Louis Untied. Anything else?
No, I'll tell you, though, in the 80s, when I was 12 years old, and I was a hockey fan from the day I was born, when the Steamers were hot in this town, they actually outdrew the Blues at the arena. And if you asked me as a 12-year-old, would I rather go to a Steamers game or a Blues game, back then I would have said the Steamers.
And why were they called the Steamers?
I don't know.
That has by the way, that has a connotation.
It does. They can't call them the Steamers
dropping
now.
A hot one on the cold.
The steamboats coming down the Mississippi River.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they had a lot to do with it.
The hot Steamers.
Yeah.
Okay. The hot steamers. Hot now steamer. You're talking. Yeah. The St. Louis Hot Carls.
Oh, man.
And once again, there'll be people. It was it? Well, you look it up.
St. Louis HC.
Yeah. And I'm trying to figure it out. Anything else?
No.
All right. Dan, anything? Burke segment? Anything?
No, not really.
I see Josh Bauman is in early.
Yes, he just came in.
Yeah. We'll have a tech segment with him. I guess we can close the Burke segment. Okay, so here's the thing. A couple of weeks ago, Tim said, here's a documentary I think you'll like. It was called Conspiracy. And I watched it, and it was beyond interesting. But to most people, I think it would be kind of boring and slow. It was taken from the actual minutes of a meeting that was held when the Nazi, high-level Nazi SS leaders planned on how they were going to kill all the people they were going to kill. It is chilling and unbelievable, but it actually happened, and they had this meeting. So last night I'm on Netflix just looking around, and I see, and it's simply called Nazi Concentration Camps. That's the name. So I clicked on it. And once I started, I couldn't stop. Now, folks, let me just tell you something. I've become extremely interested in the Holocaust I'm not sure why, a few reasons, but I'm astonished that, at least as far as I can remember, we were never in school told about the Holocaust. Never. Never in history class, never came up. So I had no clue and what it was, never heard of it until I got older. And since then, I thought I had seen some of what?
In your history teacher's defense, no offense to you, but when you were born, what was it, 1950? World War II had only been over for about 5 years. So
yeah, but when I was in high school, it was the 60s. Plenty of time to gather information, and they knew everything there was to know in about 45. They knew immediately when they went in to save those people, the ones that could still be saved. This film is in black and white. It's 16 millimeter, scratchy. It was shot, all of it, by the U.S. Armed Forces.
How long is it?
It's an hour. I have never in my life seen anything like... I didn't know this existed, and I also didn't know, and I didn't until I watched the film. There's a narrator who tells you what you're watching, because almost all of it is just footage with no audio. So he tells you what you're looking at. And there are a couple of people that they mic'd and actually had them speak about what had happened. What you see in this film is just exactly, without any censorship or anything cut out, what our soldiers saw and found when they walked into these camps. I have never seen anything like it. I thought I knew how horrible the Holocaust was. No, I had no idea. You will see things that will make you either turn away or almost throw up or cry, but everybody over the age of 16 should almost, it should be required viewing. This was shot by our armed forces. They show General Dwight D. Eisenhower walking through the most horrific and horrible setting you can imagine. You see people running out with cloths over their faces because the stench is so bad. You see grown people crying. They can't believe what they have found in these concentration camps. And I'm not going to get into what you'll see because it's so graphic, but everybody needs to know that this is what human beings, in fact, there were 800,000 SS soldiers, 800,000 who agreed to go along with this and participate in this. And I didn't know that we sent in troops, soldiers, to help bury some of the piles of bodies that were just still piled up. Our people, American soldiers, went in and buried them. Sometimes one at a time, and sometimes pushed into a big ditch with a bulldozer. That's how big the pile of bodies was. It is unbelievable, and I hope everybody make yourself watch it. It's just called Nazi Concentration Camps, and it's on Netflix. And I wish it weren't. I wish it were accessible to everybody, because I think it's very important. When you're finished, you're only left with this thought. How could humans, women too, they show you, they round up the women guards at these camps. We always think of men gunning people down. No, there were women that participated in it. How can any human being, except maybe a random, deranged, sick, evil person here and there, but how could thousands of humans stand there and either watch or participate in what they were doing to other people? I had no idea the level of torture. They tortured these people.
That was Hitler's power. Back in some of the mentality of Germany after World War II was they were lost. They just lost the First World War.
Right.
The Treaty of Versailles had put on a Lord knows how many sanctions on their country. They were broken. So you got this little guy who comes out of nowhere, starts screaming and shouting about how, you know, why should they be punished and all that, slowly takes over. And then,
well, he's like a Jim Jones or any cult follower. He comes along and goes, okay, I'll take care of everything. I'll save you.
Yeah.
I've got a plan.
The most evil human being on the face of the planet, in my mind, but he was an incredible public speaker. I mean, he could, like, you ever see some of the speeches and all that? He was able to rally people around him, and then he started producing jobs and he started turning the economy around. So they blindly followed it. They turned a blind eye to what was going on. And then anybody who tried to say anything, the Gestapo would come along at night and you're gone.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't know this either. And you see this in this 1 hour black and white footage. They go into the town of Auschwitz. They go in all the towns where these concentration camps were outside of town and they round up civilians. And they make them go out and look at what happened right outside your door. This is what your relatives, your brothers, your sons, your dad, this is what your family members who decided to become part of the SS Nazi, this is what they did.
Mm-hmm.
This is what your dad did, your brother did, your son. They participated in this horrible, horrible thing called the Holocaust. It is the most maybe powerful video I've ever seen in my life. Black and white, hard to watch, Nazi concentration camps, Netflix. If nothing else, I think almost all these people, Hulu, Netflix, you get a trial for like 30 days. Take the trial and then don't keep it, but use the trial to watch Nazi concentration camps. Of course, then that caused me to, you know, how the link pops up to, like, I watched the trial, or at least a lot of it, of, I think his name was Oscar Gronig. He was a member of the SS that they found and discovered living in, I believe, England. I don't remember, but he was 93 years old. And they put him on trial at 93, and he was found guilty of being complicit in these murders. Of course, he died. He never saw a day in jail.
Right.
But at least they got him. And he never left this life without being labeled as an accomplice to mass murder. And it's just... So many of the German people had a tough time coming to grips with the fact that mm-hmm. a relative of theirs, that they just thought, like, we have somebody who's in the military. Yeah, your brother was in the military, but he killed a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. Whether you like that reality or not. So that's it. That's all I will say, except I sincerely believe that in this country, we don't make people do anything. Sometimes I think we should. But I believe everybody, and if you have kids or grandkids, and they're, I would say, over the age of 16, sit down with them and you watch this. And then you turn to them and ask if they've taught anything about this in school. And the answer is probably no. Just like there's not much taught even about World War II, or, and say, well, this is what humans did to 11 million other humans. They tortured them, butchered them, did medical experiments on them, burned them, whip them, gas them. Horror. Absolutely horrible.
I don't think a lot of people realize that it wasn't just the Jews that he went after either.
No, gays.
Gypsies. Anybody disabled or mentally handicapped. Oh, they were gone.
Yeah.
Like,
That's it. If I keep going on this, I'll just get crazy. Because And I guess the other thing to remember is, I actually also believe something like this could happen again. It could. You got to be very, very careful. Watch everything around you. Participate in shutting down what's left. And unfortunately, there's a lot of it left. There's white supremacist nationalist people, these nuts that still to this day want to exterminate Jewish people. And some of them want to exterminate black people. It's just it can happen again. And thank goodness if when it does, I'll be dead. But this is an eye-opener for me after all these years, thinking I knew, I thought I'd seen in photographs and other film the worst of the worst, and I hadn't. This is the real deal. And by the way, if I ever meet anybody who says to me, and means it, the Holocaust never happens, I will never speak to that person again. That person is far too stupid to be somebody I waste time with. These Holocaust deniers... You got to be an idiot. You watch this footage. You don't stage this. It's impossible. So to those people, I say, don't engage with me. You're not my friend. You can't be my friend if you deny. You want to say we didn't land on the moon? Okay, I do that. But don't pull that with this. I saw a couple of movies. I'll save most of that for tomorrow when Dan Buffa gets here. One of them was Blinded by the Light, the Bruce Springsteen thing.
How was that?
It was very good.
Yeah?
Very good. And the other one was as bad as this one was good. Good Boys.
Oh, no. Is that terrible?
It's beyond terrible. No. It's filthy. It's filthy. And I thought it'd be a Stand By Me kind of thing.
Right.
No. No, the language is... My wife and I got up and walked out... And 5 minutes in, I turned to her and I said, this is a horrible movie. We gave it 50 minutes, 5-0, and then we walked out. Wow. It's disturbing to me that this is how we portray, either this is how we portray young boys today who are just in their early teens, mm-hmm. or it's not a portrayal at all. It's a portrayal of real life. This is how kids speak now, and this is how they think. That's disturbing. So whether it's, exaggerated or real, I don't like the reality that young kids could be this filthy, and that a movie like this could do this well. It beat at the box office Blind by the Light.
Wow.
Rotten Tomatoes gave Good Boys a 90%. It's one of the worst things ever. My wife and I have only walked out 3 movies in our whole life, and we walked out of Good Boys. It's beyond bad. It's ridiculous. So we'll talk more about it tomorrow when Dan Buffa gets here. And as I said, Josh Bauman's here. Let's talk to John real quick, and then we'll take a break and do some news. John, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Fine. I'm in the AM and the PM.
Thank you, John. What's up?
Talking about the Holocaust, a friend of mine is 93 years old, and he was in World War II.
Right.
And you were talking about the SS troops. He said when they captured them, they interrogated them, and the higher ranking, they took them for a walk and never brought them back.
Well, that's good to know. In this film, you actually see our American soldiers, led by Eisenhower and Patton, they're in the film, making these Nazi officers pick these rotted skeletal remains. Some of them hadn't even been dead long. Relocate them and rebury them. And I thought, I never knew we did that. Good for us. And at gunpoint, they basically said, no gloves, bare hands. You move these bodies and you bury them. You killed them. And then what happened to them after that? I'd like to think they shot every one of them. But that's good to hear. And I don't doubt it for a minute. When you watch this footage, you do get the idea. Man, it was all our soldiers could do, and even our leaders, to not just gun down all of these concentration camp people that were there when they went in.
And a friend of mine was raised over there during the war, and she said at the end of the war, the SS troops broke into their house, and at gunpoint, they made her mother cut their tattoo off their arm.
Oh.
Well, of course, because they knew somebody's coming after them.
Right.
And they hid. They ran all over the world hiding.
That tattoo was a death sentence.
Wow.
Well, good. Mm-hmm. It should have been. It should have been. Yes. And most of them were never tried. Most of them died of old age before anybody could make them pay or punish them. But they're being punished right now.
They just faded into the woodwork.
Yeah. Well, I believe they're being punished for eternity. I do. I don't think you can murder that many people and then just die and not pay a price somehow. Whatever your belief is, there's no way, to me, you can live like that and then just die.
No.
So, all right, John. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Thank you. I know there are people that believe you just die, you die. That's it.
Right.
It's over. And I don't buy that. I can take one quick call, whoever this is, if Dan will just give me a name. Dan. No, he didn't have a name. All right, let me do some business. Josh Bauman's in. He is every Monday. We'll talk with John Landoff, then we'll bring Josh in. Oh, I also have... there's a documentary came out 2 days ago on Hulu. I cannot wait to see it tonight. I watched the first 5 minutes of it, but I already know I want to see it. We'll talk about that later, too. In the Playhouse, probably. First Community Credit Union, I went there today, and I stared at the popcorn. And I didn't get any because I have a water pit now, and now the idea of anything being between my teeth drives me nuts. I won't even eat popcorn unless I think I can go right home and water pick my teeth. I know that seems weird, but they have great popcorn, and I'll eat some more. It's free, and it's at every location of First Community Credit Union. But that's not all they have. That's not what causes people and has caused thousands of people to close the accounts at their bank, wherever else they're banking, and move their banking business to First Community Credit Union. What causes them to do that is very competitive rates, terrific service, and lots of services. There's service like, hi, how you doing? And let me help you. We'll put this together. But then there are services beyond just, you know, checking and savings and car loan. If you're a small business, they love partnering with small businesses. So you might want to connect with First Community Credit Union for that line of credit that you have, or maybe you want to expand. I hope you do. I hope you need to hire more people and get a bigger place. They can help you with that. And then all the regular usual stuff that all of you are doing at a bank, you can do all of that at First Community Credit Union. And I hope you will think about it. I know this is not an easy sell because it's just not a priority for a lot of people. We got a place where we bank, and I get that. But it would be great if you would at least just think about it. Go to their website. It's firstcommunity.com. Take a look at what they do. Stop in one, have some popcorn. Even if you're not a member, say, it's okay. large morning show in the afternoon, said I could have some popcorn and ask some questions, get some literature. It is a great place to bank. And the other thing is you're AM and the PM, and so are they. They do a lot to keep the show on the air. So that would be a great way to thank them. And if you do go in, say, hey, love the yard sale on Saturday morning, because they make that possible too. First Community Credit Union, over 40 locations, the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. You can find out more again at firstcommunity.com. Don't go away. We're going to talk to John Londoff, and then Josh Bauman is here for you to answer your questions, your tech questions about something you have or something you're thinking about buying. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, and 590thefan.com, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Tom Roberts. New York police officer Daniel Pantaleo is being fired in the 2014 chokehold death of Eric Garner. That's the decision today from NYPD Commissioner James O'Neill. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio hopes there will never again be a similar incident.
Job one is to make sure there's never another incident.